Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This afternoon, Thomas Jackson, police chief of Ferguson, Missouri, held a press conference and was asked if he was surprised that people felt his force looked militaristic in a confrontation last night with people protesting the shooting death of a teen 5 days ago. The chief said it wasn't militaristic, it was tactical. These were SWAT teams. Jelani Cobb is a writer and associate professor at the University of Connecticut. He was there last night when police used tear gas and rubber bullets to clear out protesters. Jelani, how would you describe the police force?
The general demeanor of them was almost like an occupying force because they were dressed in military garb. There were two police officers who were in something that looked like a sniper's nest on top of armored vehicles. They had assault rifles that were mounted on tripods, which just for the life of me, I didn't understand why a community protest warranted that kind of response.
You tweeted all night, and one of the tweets is, "This began as a conversation about a single young man who was killed, but it's now about militarization of police forces."
Yes, absolutely. Because I think there's the kind of adage that if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But if you have a tank, every protest looks like an insurgency. There was a great deal of community anger out there, but that level of kind of militaristic bearing and material only served to exacerbate the tensions. They did nothing to diminish it.
Well, but the police chief, as you know, is saying he thinks his men are being restrained. And supporters of the police are saying, well, there was a riot several days ago when the initial shooting happened. There was looting. Mm-hmm. Stores were destroyed. The force has to be prepared to protect the community.
I think that that's actually true. And I think many people in the community were disappointed that there was violence there. And so there were police who were there in riot gear. And I don't think that that in and of itself was alarming. There was at least one police officer who had on his uniform, but had obscured his face with a bandana. No one who is intent on enforcing the law needs to obscure their face with a bandana. Perhaps someone who is intent on cracking heads would need to do that. There were other people who had obscured their badges.
What else is your sense of this community, the people who are protesting, that maybe isn't translating on TV pictures?
Well, one thing that people were very emphatic about is that, there are, white people who are in the community who are very upset about this. I saw a protest yesterday in the afternoon that was mostly, if not entirely, white, who were protesting about the death of Mr. Brown. People have bristled at the idea that this was a black, quote-unquote, black protest. In the evening, there were many more young people there, but during the day, there were older people, there were people who were black, there were people who were white, and, there seemed to be a cross-section of people who were very concerned about the way in which this has been handled. Other people pointed to, long-standing economic grievances. I talked with community activists about, the economic underdevelopment in this area, about issues around law enforcement where there are people who have tickets, and because they're issued warrants because they can't pay the ticket, they wind up basically being imprisoned in their homes. They don't want to leave because they can be arrested. And so, those kinds of things have culminated in a kind of distrust in the community.
Well, what do you think has to happen in the very moment? Is your sense, first of all, that there will be more protests tonight and more confrontations? And what might change that?
I suspect that there will be more protests tonight and probably more confrontations. From the people I talked to, it's been a real sticking point that no one knows the identity of the police officer involved in this case. And I think that as long as that's the case, people will probably feel unsettled.
Jelani Cobb, Associate Professor of History and Director of the Institute of African American Studies at the University of Connecticut. Jelani, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll link you to his newest post in The New Yorker. It's called Shock and Awe in Ferguson.